Text or WhatsApp your view to Greg on 086 60 25,000.
And you have in your hundreds. Thank you so very much indeed. Do your panel want to keep wars going? Is a simple question asked by a listener there. Let me see. The government should stay in our own country for once. Jetting off on a junket trip. Spend it like the people of the country at home, says a listener. Terrible disrespect shown to the US electorate this morning from your panel. Disgraceful to try and offset that somewhat. Just listening to this, we need someone like Trump in this country. Could you find a bit of balance for the panel? That's not really how it works. As I say, I tried to explain it. Obviously, you know, people are incredibly busy and we do assemble panels a long time in advance. And you never know on any given day what the subjects are actually going to be. So, as I say, you know, everyone's very, very busy. So next week's panel has probably been in the book for a month or two. And I simply don't know what, so we don't know as a team, don't know what's what topics are going to be there, because of we generally try and focus on the topics that everybody's talking about. So as it turns out, we just happen to have three people that weren't favourable to what Donald Trump's at. Bridget on Facebook says, Greg talks too much over guests. Again, Bridget, the reason, firstly, It's a four-way conversation. It's just the style in which we employ it too. But obviously, it's a case of trying to offer at times alternative views. Now, if you agree with what a person I'm interviewing is saying, you'll want them to speak all day. If you don't agree, you'll be waiting for me to come in and put a counterpoint, and you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But I do appreciate all feedback. Right, let me see. Greg, the original orchestrators of the Hegelian dialect are really at work now with Trump in promising to bring peace in both wars. This is versus anathesis brings synthesis. This is I've no knowledge of what this is about. I think we are near the end game as far as the end of the world is concerned. If you look at the war in Israel, Palestine, it's biblical. Look at the weather, it's destroyed. Look at the gender thing. Look at the migration thing. I think this is the issue in the Bible that divides brother against brother at the end of the world. I think this is it. Add Trump and Elon Musk, they're the final pieces of the jigsaw. I don't see it like you see it. I hope that you do see some hope out there. There's an awful lot of very, very good people that try their very hardest to avoid these types of things, and hopefully they're successful in much of what you're talking about. Let me see. I've mixed up some old comments with new comments. Hi, Greg. Pat's dislike for Trump is quite evident by his comments on the US administration. No matter what view you personally hold on other countries' leaders, your panel has no right to call them names on the airways. Didn't the former US admin keep supplying Israel to bomb and killing Gaza? Yes, indeed. Pat's comments about the US press officer's age are highly unfair. She's highly qualified and intelligent in her field. Is he implying that only older people are intelligent? I don't think it was that type of a comment. I think it was more of a reflection, and I see it myself. As you get older, everyone looks younger. I would argue that her age brings a wider audience and a fresh perspective to all things that go on in the White House. She was the first press officer to invite short-form journalists such as TikTok content creators to the White House. We all know how far-reaching TikTok's audience is, so I think she's doing a great job. We're no longer in the era of traditional media. Everyone's against Trump, but have to ask why now. He is no politician and doesn't act like one. He is an ego, but at the end of the day, he's putting his people and his country first. He's cleaning house, and those who are dirty are being shown up. That's why the globalists hate him and have nothing good to say about him. 30 minutes of negativity, anti-DF and Fine Gael, as well as the government. What about 30 minutes of positive news, Greg? The panel is set up, and we don't really have that long to discuss the issues of the day. Invariably, they are things that make the front pages, which is generally not good news. But don't worry, over the course of 3 hours, we've lots of good stuff and fun and chat to talk about as well. Another caller says, there's no elected Ukrainian president. Elections were cancelled in Ukraine a long time ago. The so-called Ukrainian president has no right to talk for Ukrainians other than that he's propped up by pro-war Western leaders. Let the Ukrainians have an election to decide their own future. When you're going to talk about our neutrality being eroded away bit by bit, we demand a referendum on neutrality, says a listener. Another, the war in Ukraine has nothing to do with Ireland, except we're paying for refugees, housing, food, healthcare, etc. We are part of a union, though, and you know that there are responsibilities that come with that, whether you like it or not. And if you don't like it, you sort of do what Britain did and leave. Ukraine, it seems to me that some people would prefer more billions spent on endless wars and more hundreds of thousands being killed than for Donald Trump to receive any bit of praise or acknowledgement for trying to stop it. Is anybody going to mention the OPW in all this waste? We covered that extensively in previous conversations and it was referenced in that hour. It's ludicrous. It's only a few months since we heard about the bike shed, but over €6 million for an IT system that never worked, well beyond a joke. We have to wake up and stop paying our taxes. Another, all those poor people, dead homes, lost families, split, could have been prevented. The EU and Ukraine are part of a problem, as they were breaking the original agreement of not joining NATO. Hi, Greg. On the subject of accountability and waste, the council rents cones for road works and other reasons. In one case, the council rented a single cone for over a decade to place outside a family home to facilitate a bus pickup a child with a disability. Admittedly, the cone was needed. However, renting it was preposterous. Could that be the case that the council rented a cone for 10 years or does rent cones? Maybe that's best practice. I don't know. Greg, either the average person is very dumb or media outlets like Highland think they are. Trump supposedly cuts off money. 90% of Ukraine media was fully USAID funded. Now suddenly the Ukrainian war is ending. Trump stated yesterday that USAID gave a person $9 million to stand in a shop for 30 minutes to study consumer behaviour. That's $300,000 a minute. Why does Highland not highlight the actual information like this? Are you saying Highland is impartial, lol? The fact I didn't pick up on someone spending $9 million. But literally, in the first hour of the show, we talked about the US administration, whether it's right or wrong or the facts or whatever it is have been calling out this type of spend. I said it with my own mouth. So again, it's the mind hears what it wants to hear. Ask them what they think about the billions he's found in fraud and government in the States. The Irish government is afraid in case they get exposed too. Another, read that one. We have to thank the government from the bottom of our hearts because they saved us from Sinn Féin running the country, according to them, the government, who only tell the truth. We've been saved. Another, if you want to see wastage of public money, look no further than the HSC, from equipment to food to agency staff. Another couple before we take a break. There is the impression that if you land a job or contract with the government or the HSC, you're made. You can rub your hands with glee. People think there's no limit to, as it's government money, not the people's money. Send Musk over here after he cleans up America, says a listener. Another, Anne says, in fact, government ministers don't have to worry about spending money in their depots. It's not their own money they're spending. It's our money, the taxpayers' money they're squandering. And the sad thing is their conscience tells them it's okay to do so. God help Ireland is all I can say about what I'll never forget, the way they treated us, the taxpayer, after the storm. They showed us what they think of us by ignoring us completely. Shame on them. Thanks, Anne. On speculation and misinformation in regards to knife attacks, sexual assaults, rapes, and I've read that one as well. They are of the view that the media covers things up. Just to be very clear, as far as I'm aware, the details of most of the crimes that you talk of have been published. I'm not defending the media for a second, but I can only say what's the case. Suspects don't get named until they appear in court. So until such time as someone appears in court, they can't be named in the media. And it's not because they don't want to, it's because they're precluded from doing so. And then as soon as somebody is charged, you then, a media organisation, for right or wrong, unlike X or Facebook, you can no longer then speculate on the case, right? Because that person has been charged, and anything you say in between them being charged and either convicted or not could prejudice the trial. And I could prejudice my job and the future of Highland Radio by speculating. So yes, you can talk about someone's background. You can't name them until such time as they're charged. And then once they are charged, you can't say, oh, it's great, it's terrible, such and such a person did such and such a thing, there should be this, that and then. Until they go through a court process, that speculation ends in media that's governed by the rules and regulations. So there you go. A caller says, happy Hallmark Day, Greg. It's a big day for the card companies and what have you. Right, okay, before we move on, I posted yesterday about what's the worst gift you ever got from a partner, because we try, right, boys and girls, often it's men, we do try and get it right, we try and be romantic, we try and do, you know, the right thing, but sometimes we get it wrong. And sometimes we give people presents that aren't fantastic presents. So I put it out on social media. What was the worst present you ever got, either for Valentine's Day or whatever? And I want you, where you're listening today, to get involved if you have any funny wee stories for us. Martina told us that I used to never get anything for Valentine's Day, as it's my birthday the next day. So the excuse was, sure, there's no point wasting money when it's your birthday the next day. You gotta love the romantic knot. Thanks, Martina. Yvonne said, I got an iron for having our first child. Needless to say, it didn't last long, but the iron's going strong 18 years later. Okay. Well, at least you got an iron out of it. Deirdre said, many, many moons ago, an ex bought me for my first Christmas present an iron, an ironing board, a kettle, a kitchen clock, a cookery book, and perfume, which was worse than fly spray. Maria says, long ago I received 5 vases, but no flowers, a small empty jewellery box, a bag of potpourri, all on different occasions. Thanks to the development of Amazon, it totally changed my life. Now I just go and pick what I want and add it to his basket. Good woman, Maria. Graham says, I was going to buy my wife something, but then I didn't bother. He points out that it's the thought that counts. Graham, that's not how that phrase fits in, but I get it. Jackie says, the worst gift I ever got was a chip pan. Isabel got a mop, Isabella. Shirley says, a light up makeup mirror. I seldom never wear makeup. He's learned his lesson since. Good stuff, Shirley. Raphael says, my dad put my sister on my mum's tummy. She was delighted, but I never forgave them. Right, okay. James says, Anita says, this is Anita Rosny. Our own Tommy Rosny was called out. His loving daughter, Anita, hung him out to dry. The time Tommy bought Margot a blue microwave when she was expecting a black leather jacket. True love. Enduring love, though. Great couple. But Tommy got it wrong on that occasion, and I'm sure he's got it right since. Let me see. I got a toolbox for Valentine's one year. This is from Louise. It had good a few tools and sharp objects. I did point out how these tools could really hurt, though. Doris, first Christmas we were married, he got me a dishwasher. Well, if you needed one, Doris, but it's not romantic, is it? Mary said, I think I got an ash bucket one year. That was before the girls grew up and changed things or shopped for him. It's good to have the girls, Mary, isn't it? A mop bucket. Andrea got a torch, a tire inflator to keep in the boot for Valentine's Day. I mean, is it romantic? The thoughts there, right? A lot of, and particularly women, it seems, got Hoovers. Maeve and Kathleen both got a Hoover, but Kathleen already had 2, so she had a third she could add a third to the list. Grania got an alarm clock. Margaret got a hot water bottle for Valentine's Day. Patricia, she got a Hetty Hoover for Valentine's Day. Bath bombs. Neve got bath bombs, which sounds good, doesn't it? Do you know what the only problem is? Neve doesn't have a bath. And Deborah got a book, and excuse the language, but this is the name of the book. Deborah got a book that was named Ants of Arseholes. Right, so those are some of the unromantic presents people got, mostly at Valentine's Day, but other times of the year. Right, lads, come on, help me out here. Because I started that conversation with... it's not fair on Aisling, but anyway, here we go. She got me one of those, you know, those electric drills. I'm not really quite sure what it, not electric drills, electric saws. Like, it's massive. It's about a foot long, and then it's got a tiny, like, 7-inch blade on it. I don't know what you're supposed to cut with it, but anyway, got it for Christmas, opened it up. You have to buy the battery set separate, so I haven't got the battery yet, and I don't really know what I could cut with it, but anyway, just to say that sometimes it's not just the fellas that get it wrong. Have you any stories of funny stories of presents that you've received? Maybe romantic situations that didn't go quite the way the couple had expected? Let me know. 086 60 25,000. It's a bit of fun. 086 60 25,000. Or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. I suppose the argument could be made that there is a concern that Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump are looking to resolve the situation in Ukraine without Ukraine having an equal voice in that. And I suppose earlier on today we've been discussing the situation without hearing directly from people that would affect, i.e. The Ukrainians. It will affect everyone. But Olina joins me on the programme now. Olina, thank you for taking the call today. I do appreciate it.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Right, okay. So what is your assessment of what's been happening over the last few days, Olina? What are your emotions?
Of course, my emotions are not very good because USA always was a big partner of Ukraine, and in the times of Biden, we got a lot of support, both democratically, by weapon, by the finance support, and it helped, of course, Ukraine to survive as a country and keep going our democracy and be independent. And now this loyalty of Trump administration, or his like personally to Vladimir Putin and Russia, it's a big shame for USA, as for the democratic world, as the leader of the democratic world, and for us it's a very big disappointment, because we got a lot of help from USA, and now we understand that we need to find the support in other European countries, who of course support us because they understand what the democracy and is very important in this world. We are all very, very disappointed, but we will not skip. We will keep fighting again, and of course, we will not sit down and cry. We will do everything, and I'm sure our President Zelensky also will do everything to keep our independency going, and to find new support from other countries.
Yeah, and that's what effectively President Trump has said. He said, you know, this is a European problem. There's a sea, there is actually, Russia's very close to America. Yeah. But anyway, he says there's a sea between us. We're not going to be investing so much money. He says actually now he's turned the money that's been pumped into Ukraine by the US into a loan, and he wants to sort of recoup some of that. But he's also said, which is really quite remarkable, the global mood has changed in that now he's talking about Putin, who couldn't travel to certain countries for fear of arrest, being welcomed in Washington, and Trump visiting Moscow. That's a massive change. And the US administration have also said that NATO, the joining of NATO, is off the table, and also that Ukrainians could not expect to have their borders restored to pre-2014. What can Ukraine do in that situation when you've got this superpower stating it as that?
Of course, this these words of Trump, they are different from what USA was claiming before. All people are think that still we will keep fighting for all of our territories, that we will not let this agreement be, especially without taking part in it of Ukraine. And I think that our people will not accept this agreement, because all our territories are very important for us, and we will never refuse giving any territories for Russia. There should be special status on these territories or something else, but we will never agree to give it to Russia, because we understand that people there will not survive, and Ukrainians will not feel safe in these territories. And this is our land. This is historically our land. Why should we give it to someone?
Alina, a lot of people's initial reaction is that there's an incredible loss of life, and that Ukraine and Russia are losing an awful lot of primarily young men to stand still effectively, and that without the US backing, it'd be very difficult for Ukraine to hold Russia back. And in fact, they may end up taking more than the fifth of Ukraine that they currently have control over. Does any part of you say that, you know, this does have to end? How many more young lives have to be lost needlessly some would say, and others would say, for great need, sent to the front line. Like, how do you balance all of that in your own mind?
Yeah, of course, it's a big tragedy that so many people die, and especially young people die, and so many families are destroyed, and destinies are destroyed. So many people left abroad as me, and we can't come back to our land. And of course, this death should stop. But Trump wants to stop them by making Ukraine weak and by giving our territories and just receiving his money back, which they have already spent for this war. So he sees it's just like a project, just like a business. But for us, it's our lives and the future of our country. And the way how he can stop these deaths, he can push on Putin and Russia. But after this conversation that they had, all the world saw that Putin just refused to stop the fights. He just refused to stop the fire. And Trump didn't do anything after these words. Like, he just accepted that he doesn't want to stop the fire. Yeah, of course, he wants negotiations to start. But there was no big reaction for these words that Putin will not stop the fire. So, and this is the only way how the deaths can be stopped. Because if Ukraine will stop the fire and will stop fighting, then Ukraine will not exist. For us, it's the war for existence, for our independence. And for Russia, they can just stop the fire and go away from our land. So they will not lose their independence. They will not lose their country. They will not lose their people, like a sovereignty.
Donald Trump has also indicated, it was a swipe at President Zelensky, suggesting that, is he as popular as people might think because there hasn't been an election and we need an election? I think that's a direct quote from him. What kind of support across Ukraine, and I think you support Zelensky, but if you could just park that for a moment, what kind of support do you believe President Zelensky has amongst the Ukrainian people as a whole?
I think he still has a lot of support because what he claims is what most of Ukrainians think. He fights for independence and for existence of Ukraine, and he tries to find all the help in European countries and all over the world. Of course, there are some people who don't agree with some of his laws or his behavior as a leader, and say that he could do more. But as for me, it's the most part, more than 60-70% of people still support Zelensky. And there is no possibility to make elections now because it will destroy the country. It will make a big mess inside. And we have a big enemy outside. We cannot make any changes now inside because it can destroy the country. And everybody understand it.
Finally, I suppose in the course of the last few days, and I suppose I may well have a strong indication of your answer, have you any hope? Do you have any added hope over the last couple of days?
Yes, of course, we cannot lose our hope, and we're still strong. We still hope for the best. Of course, we understand that without USA support, it will be much harder for Ukraine. But as I said, we still have support of European countries and other democratic countries for whom democratic values are still very important. That's why we think that we will still have enough of support to keep fighting and this war. Of course, we want all this war to be ended as soon as possible, but we want to end this war in fair position and with fair results for Ukraine.
Okay.
And European countries, they also understand it because they know for sure that Putin will not stop with Ukraine. if Ukraine will be defeated, he will go, like, in few years for sure, he will go in Europe and he will start the war in Europe. Mm. And all of European leaders understand it.
Okay, it's been lovely speaking to you, Olena. Thank you very much for your insights. We do appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Take
for
care.
Your time.
Bye-bye. That is Olena there, who is from south of Ukraine, the Kursk region, has lived here now for 3 years. So we appreciate her time just to get a view of one, to get a Ukrainian's view on how things have developed over the last couple of days. And Olena is one of 130,000 Ukrainians now living here. Forcing young soldiers to fight against modern lethal weapons is folly. To stop the killing, there must be an agreement. Why are so many lives sacrificed so others' idealism could be realised? Another, what does that woman think about all the billions of US money that was laundered via Ukraine in the last few years? Does she know that over 90% of Ukrainian propaganda media outlets were funded by the USA, USAID? How the war, now the war is suddenly ending when the money was withdrawn, which is a point of view that a number of people are making. I've seen the original source of that view, so I understand where that's coming from. All right, we're really busy on the phones today. Thank you so much for all of your text, calls and comments. Don't forget, coming up after 11 o'clock, there has to be light because there's often shade. We have Maria Rush in with us. And Michael Leddy, and we've got some live musical performances and guests, and lots of fun in that hour as we head in towards the weekend and figuring out what we're going to do. TV, cinema. Have you been to the cinema? What have you watched? Any good? What are you watching on TV at the moment? Maybe you've got some recommendations. Have you ever opened up one of your apps, Netflix, for an example? You want to watch something. You're trying to figure out what to watch. You know, you start watching about 9. You just got the kids to bed. You start watching about 9. 9:45, you're still flicking through Netflix, you haven't found anything to watch, and then you go to bed quite depressed. That happens to me quite a bit. So maybe we can help with that. Maybe we can make some suggestions as to what you can snuggle up this evening and watch, either on your own, which some people love, or with someone else as well. A man has been found guilty in India of the rape and murder of Donegal woman Danielle McLaughlin in 2017. Vikas Bhagat, 31, was found guilty at the District and Sessions Court in South Goa, India today. We can go there right now, and we rely on the Wi-Fi holding out to say hello to Jolene Brannigan. Jolene, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Greg.
Jolene, how are you feeling?
We're still in shock and we just don't know how to feel. It just feels so real now that he has finally been found guilty.
What was it like in court today?
It was scary being so close to him and knowing that he knew who we were. But it was such like immense pressure lifted knowing that he's finally been found guilty and that the truth has come out.
This has been an incredibly hard experience, not least the loss of Danielle, but knowing that this trial was ongoing, constantly being stopped, started. There was a time we all thought there would never be an outcome to this. It's hard to believe we're at this point now.
I never thought it would actually come, but I'm just so relieved it's over.
Is that you, Andrea?
Yes.
Hi, Andrea. How are you feeling, my love?
How are you doing? Great. I'm shocked. I don't know how my emotions are because I was trying to be wise strong so he wouldn't see me weak. And then when I left the courtroom, then it was tears.
What was it? I can only imagine, Andrea, what it must have been like to be in the room with this person that you knew so much about and it cost you so much.
All I could think is that's the man that took my daughter away from me and stole my daughter and her future and away from her sisters and her friends.
He has been found guilty. We don't know what the sentence might be. It's either what lifetime incarceration or death is on the table as well.
Yes, that is what they seem to be pushing for currently. But they've both argued for both sides, so we don't know what the judge will decide until Monday.
Do you know yourselves in your hearts what you would like to happen? It's a tough one, isn't it?
It's up to the judge. It's the judge's decision. We can't go against what they want, so we'll just have to wait to see what will happen.
What has it been like being over there? How have you been treated, Jolene?
it's been amazing. Like, I can see why Danielle loved this place so much. They're so friendly and it's just such a calm environment. It's just, you can tell what Danielle loved and gravitated towards this place for. Like, we don't feel like scared at all. We thought we'd be so scared and that the people might be like violent and scary, but it's just been the most amazing experience to being so close to Danielle in a different way now. It feels like her spirit's still here watching us.
Wow, isn't that amazing? I'm so delighted that that's the sense you got. Andrea, have you been able to, I suppose, trace some of Danielle's steps as part
not
of this?
Really.
Not really, no.
Not really, because we've been having meetings with the embassy and public prosecutors, police investigators, and literally been like...
All we've kind of done is been to the beach that we have photos of Danielle at,
yeah,
and the site where she was found, and a local restaurant that we know she loved. So besides that, we haven't really been able to, but we know that like she's walked these streets, and so it feels like we are closer, because we know she did stay in this area.
So you did get comfort from that, Jolene?
Of course, yeah. It was okay. Nice just to see it from a different side, like from her eyes.
Yeah, well, listen, I can't imagine how you feel. I know you're very busy, so I'm not going to delay you anymore. It's been such an incredible journey that started with such a tragic, tragic loss. I'm delighted that you have each other there to support each other through this time. But finally, I suppose this is it. Vikhat Bhagat has been found guilty and will be sentenced on Monday.
Exactly. So we'll know then. Thank you so much for everything, Greg.
Okay, thanks, ladies. Take care of
Thank
yourself.
You. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Bye, Andrea. That is, and they're incredibly busy and being pulled all over the place. That was their first media interview that they've done, just their first reaction to that news. That was Jolene Branigan, and you also heard from Andrea there. They were speaking to us live from outside the District and Sessions Court in South Goa, India. And it's off the back of the news that... a local man to that area, Vikhat Bhagat, who's 31, he was found guilty at the District and Sessions Court in South Goa in India today. He was responsible for the rape and murder of the beautiful Donegal woman, Danielle McLaughlin. When we think of all the conversations we've had with Andrea over the years, trying to get representation, trying to get the Irish government on board, the British government on board, because Danielle was a dual passport holder, then trying to get the court case moving, Vikhat Bhagat and his defence team trying to frustrate the process, tales of him being released and how he was being treated and all that manner of thing. And the sense was is that will justice ever be delivered? And I'm just thinking on Jolene and Andrea there. We've all seen the pictures of Danielle on that beach, and they've been able to walk her footsteps on that beach and visit local calves. And I'm so pleased that they get a sense that Danielle is watching over her. And also, with everything they've gone through, to be able to say that it's a lovely place and we understand why Danielle loved it so much. That really hit home with me. So I'm so pleased for Andrea particularly, and of course Danielle's sister Jolene, and just remarkable to be able to get to them, to speak to them as they stepped out of the District and Sessions Court in South Goa, India today. My elderly parents and siblings all live on the island. My brother, who is after having an operation and is having to reside on the mainland. Oh, sorry. Okay, this is in relation to Tory, right? We were hoping to cover the Tory island situation. They're going to be without a nurse for 10 days. They've a 10-day gap. I believe it started yesterday. And we were hoping to speak on that issue. We'll get back to it on Monday if we can't make the connections today. But it reads, my elderly parents and siblings all live on the island. My brother, who's after having an operation and is having to reside on the mainland an extra 5 days purely because of a dressing change to the wound. That's the level of care that's currently unavailable. The HSE said the following. Unfortunately, there'll be no nurse to cover Tory Island from 1 o'clock yesterday. Please make sure to pick up your prescriptions by 1 o'clock yesterday. In case of an emergency, please contact your GP or now doc after surgery hours, which when you live on an island that's quite removed from the mainland, quite a complication. As I say, we were hoping to platform that more today, but we will get back to it next week. More of your comments coming in on an array of subjects here. Trump's 100% right. Why the hell should any country pay for a war in another country? Ireland's another country who should also butt out of this and sort Ireland out first. When the war was going on in Ireland, not many countries came to our rescue. England was the dictator in that war. Were Trump's bankrupt casinos and hotels not bailed out by Russia in the 80s? He's in debt to Russia, hence the desire to control Greenland, Gaza and the Panama Canal. Good morning, Greg. When you talk about wasting public money, how about the 170,000 people who work in NGO sector, 90 working against what makes Ireland, Ireland? I think there's a misunderstanding of what NGOs are in this country. Like, I would not be surprised if you have anyone in your family that is not being represented for or maybe under the umbrella of an NGO. NGO has become a dirty word, but you might be surprised as to what some of the NGOs are. Regarding, I'll come back to that actually, because some worse gifts coming in. I love it. Thank you very much indeed. But I don't want to mix that up with the other stuff. People are quick to criticise Donald Trump. We've had our fair share of dodgy politicians too. They mentioned Bertie Ahern and Charlie High. Bertie was a minister for finance and he didn't even have a checkbook or a bank account, which is really quite remarkable. What's happening in Ukraine at the moment is the same as the situation that happened in Cuba in the 60s. This conversation is very dangerous at the moment as Putin is being vilified. A caller believes that Breed shouldn't have used the language that she did against Trump. Great show, Greg. I fully agree with the panel, and I get that. And if you do agree with the panel, it's going to feel great. But listen, we cover stuff in the hold, and a lot of people that have been contacting us don't agree with the panel. And that's where you get the balance, you see. I try and throw in some balance during the conversation, but afterwards, everyone gets their point of view. Greg, watch out. Trump's going to introduce trade tariffs in Ireland with us joining NATO. I don't think we Irish have much earned. I don't think we've got much earned giving out about the government in America or any other country for that matter. See how our own behave in the Dáil, shouting at each other, calling names, and then probably best buddies in the Dáil afterwards. If any of us behaved the way they do at work, we wouldn't have work. Do they not sign a dignity at work policy? And you're quite right. I've seen it off the record. Many of them seem to get on like a house on fire. So you're not a million miles out there. Gregor Taoiseach, if he gets invited, should go to the United States for St. Patrick's Day. He should take a stand and said, I can't go due to the US support for what Israel is doing. It's all very well standing up in the Dáil saying this is terrible. Actions speak louder than words, and a refusal to go would be more effective than going and would make headlines all over the world. But of course, Micheál will go if invited. Bono, the well-known campaigner for injustice for many years, also had a chance recently when he was presented with the award from Joe Biden. Bono posed happily for this photo and not a word about Israel. There is lots of hot air floating about and meaningless statements, I think, because all everyone really cares about is money. A couple more. Morning, Greg. Big difference, Greg, in going to work in a country and coming to Ireland and getting everything free. Thank you. I am not criticising. I've been in different countries working, and I know exactly what you're talking about. I've got families in different countries working. I'm just saying that we choose the language that if we were to use the strict interpretation of the language, it would be different. As for St. Patrick's Day, America hasn't invited any of our clowns over yet. There's not many places they're not welcome in anymore, that they have too much to say about other countries' problems and forget about their own. I'm ringing about the school Salvalia. There's a woman wearing a hijab on the cover. Are we sending a message to our children that we don't have enough Irish people to put on the covers? I've seen that book. I don't know. I presume if there's 100 books and one of them has the picture of someone with a hijab on, that you could argue that that's representative of Irish society now, or maybe others might say it's subliminal messaging to young people. I don't know. It doesn't... I'd have to think about it. I haven't thought about it, but many of you have, perhaps. I think it was Ben Gilroy was sharing that out on social media. Rightio, before we take a break, worst gifts ever received for Valentine's Day. Regarding the worst gift, my husband bought me a trumpet for Christmas one year, a second-hand trumpet. I don't play the trumpet or any instrument. We are, believe it or not, still married. Wow. I would like to sit your husband down on a couch and ask him, just walk through the thought process of getting the trumpet. A caller says, I got a beautiful little globe on a first Valentine's Day from, I thought, was wonderful, saying, I had the world I would give to you, but hope this will do in the meantime. That romance didn't last long, nothing behind it, but it was a nice gift. Regarding the worst gift, my husband bought me a trumpet. Oh, we've already had that one. I'm trumpeting on about the same thing. The worst Valentine gift I ever got was an alarm clock. Oh, wow. I got a hay bob from my husband 1 year. It was the least romantic gift that I've ever gotten. What's a hay bob? What is a hay bob? Anyone know what a hay bob is? I'm going to Google that live. I want to know what a hay bob is. It doesn't sound very romantic. It sounds something like to do with your hair, but it also sounds like something to do with farming. Let's have a look. What's a hay bob? What is a hay bob? A hay bob. Okay, I know what a hay bob is now. When you cut the grass, I believe it shakes and rotates the grass before it's baled. Kind of feels like that might have been a present for him. Anyway, keep your worst gifts coming in to us, Maria. And Michael going to be joining us after 11 o'clock to see what's what. We've got some live performances for you as well. We're going to have a track sang live for you from Beauty and the Beast. It's a show that's upcoming at the moment. And we're going to have a bit of fun as well. So stay tuned for that. And thank you again so much for all your interactions. So very much appreciated. It is the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. And we're going to be back with the news at 11 after these messages.